Well, turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15, Matthew 15, we're continuing to see the gospel of Matthew. Matthew presents Jesus as the King of the Jews. We see him, of course, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. At this point, Jesus has offered himself to the nation of Israel as their Messiah and the King. That's why Matthew presents it this way. But as a whole, they're rejecting him. As a whole, the people, most of them, just they don't really have much to say. The religious leaders are opposed to him, and even his hometown is against him a little bit. And so this morning, we're going to see something unusual. We're going to see Jesus is approached by a Gentile woman. She calls him the Son of David. That's the title of the Jewish king. She does that. She knows who he is. She sees him as the King of the Jews, and she's not Jewish. And we're going to see how Jesus deals with her and why he deals with the way he deals with her. And one of the great truths that we realize from the Bible is that Jesus is not only the King of the Jews, but he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he loves everyone, and has a plan of salvation for all. We're going to see another famous event as well in this passage, and we're going to see the feeding of the 4,000. Now, we already see him fed 5,000, but we know that was 5,000 men, so it could have been as many as 20,000 people. We'll see this one. It talks about 4,000. We'll see what it talks about. But we're going to see there's a little bit of difference in this one, and I'll show you as we go through it. You can't tell so much by just reading it, but I can show you how you'll see that. Well, you know, one of the reasons I love the fall is I love Thanksgiving. Well, besides football, and I love Thanksgiving. And it's just great that, you know, we come together. I always say Thanksgiving is like having, for me, it's like three Saturdays, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, three Saturdays in a row. I just love it. But, you know, one thing about Thanksgiving is eating. I love the food, and it's so fun. And we always eat too much. In fact, all of us, probably everyone in this room would say, yeah, we usually eat too much. And we're always completely satisfied. But if you thought about it, there are places in the world that people never eat too much. They don't have enough to eat. As we look at our passage this morning, we saw the same thing when we saw Jesus fed the 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, that those people, they didn't get full. I mean, this may have been the first time in their lives that they were completely full. And we're going to see that in feeding the 4,000, uses a very similar word. It says that they were satisfied, that they were, and that means to be bloated almost. It was like they were really full. And I always raise this point. How many times in their lives were they really full? We can be full anytime we want to. We can be really full anytime we want to, but we'll see what happens there. And we see the demonstration of Jesus' power and all of those things. So this morning, that's what we see, the power and the compassion of Jesus, the King of the Jews. Now remember, he's in conflict with the religious leaders, and as he starts to Jerusalem, it's going to get more and more and more. And Jesus has been presenting himself as the King of the Jews, and that's the primary purpose of the book and what we're seeing. Even all the way down to coming into Jerusalem. If you remember, coming into Jerusalem, what we call Palm Sunday, he comes riding into Jerusalem. That's the last time he offers himself to the nation of Israel truly, and he fulfills Zechariah 9:9, which says the king will come riding into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, and he comes riding into Jerusalem. And that's really the last time we're going to see that he's just about through with it individually. Of course, people can still believe in him, but as far as the nation, they're already rejecting him. Let me give you the passage this morning. We're going to see Jesus' response to the Gentile woman. We're going to see Jesus heals large multitudes, and then Jesus feeds the 4,000. But of course, you're going to find it's more than the 4,000. That's just the men. So as we look at this section, Jesus is the King of the Jews. Now, I want to remind you of this, that here comes John the Baptist starting everything. And he came and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king is here. And so John the Baptist was saying that the Messiah is here. Jesus showed up and Jesus said, I'm the Messiah and I'm the Savior. He's been declaring that he is the King of the Jews and the Messiah. We already saw that back in Matthew chapter 10, he sends out the 12. But he says, only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, because he is proclaiming who he is to the nation of Israel. Now, that doesn't mean he wouldn't help Gentiles, because you remember there was one of the Roman rulers who had a daughter that was sick, and Jesus healed her, and those kind of things. But as a whole, he's still dealing with Jewish people. He's offering himself as their Messiah and the King. What's going to be unusual is Jesus leaves where Jewish people are, and he goes somewhere else. And we're going to see what happens, and he sees this woman. So this morning, we're going to see Jesus' response to Gentile woman, verses 21 through 28. So let's look at verse 21. It says, then Jesus went away from there. He's been around the Sea of Galilee. He went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. Let me show you something. If Tyre and Sidon were two cities, they're still there today. Jesus has been right here. Capernaum is his headquarters. Of course, it grew up in Nazareth, the headquarters. He's been all around the Sea of Galilee. He goes all the way up here. And this primarily, this part of the world, they're mostly Gentiles there. Just like over on this side of the Sea of Galilee is another group of Gentiles. It was called Decapolis. It's where there were 10 cities. So he leaves where he is and goes all the way up in this region. It says, he withdrew from there, went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. So now, if you remember way back, the king of Tyre was Hiram, king of Tyre. And when King David built the temple and when he built his own palace, Hiram sent all these logs and everything down. So they've had a connection there. Now look at verse 22. It says, and a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. Now, she comes, and my Bible at the top of this little section says the Syrophoenician woman. In the passage, she's called a Canaanite. Let me give you the map again just to show you something. This is where Jesus has been, but this part of the world where Tyre and Sidon was called Phoenicia as well. And so she's called a Syrophoenician woman, and this is where Jesus is. She finds out that he's here. And she comes out to meet him. Look what it says. A Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. She cried out to him. And so this Canaanite woman, met Jesus. She came out. Word came that Jesus was there. He's a legend. Everybody is knowing about Jesus. They're knowing about him in a lot of things. Some people are saying things like, he will feed you. Some people are saying he heals people. Some people are saying he's the Messiah. Some people say he's one of the prophets who's risen from the dead. Some people say he's a liar. Some people say, I mean, they're saying all kinds of different things. But people have heard that he does miracles. And so she has heard about Jesus and what she believes. Now, listen, I want you to look at what she says. She called him Lord Son of David. And she starts out by saying, have mercy on me. She cried out. And by the way it's written in the Greek, she keeps on crying. It wasn't a one-time thing. She kept saying over and over, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. We already know that grace is unmerited and mercy is grace in action. And when you say, Lord, give me grace or give me mercy, it's his grace and mercy that he just pours out. It's not something that we do. Notice she calls Jesus two things. She calls him Lord and she calls him Son of David. Now, I want you to understand, the calling him Lord there is the Greek word kurios, which means master, but it's also the word for deity. It means deity. So she's saying, you're God, and then she says, you're the Son of David. Now, she sees him as the King of the Jews, the Messiah. And let me tell you, many Jews do not see him as the Son of David, and here's this Gentile woman who sees him as the Son of David. I told you that when you study the Bible and you see Jesus, how he interacts, you remember there were two Jewish guys, and the reason it's Jewish that I'm bringing this up, is they were blind people, and as Jesus walked by, one of them said, who's going by? And they said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. And so one of them says, have mercy on me, son of David. Have mercy. He calls Jesus the Messiah, and Jesus stops and goes over because he knows he believes in him. He believes he's the Messiah. He's the son of David. And he healed his eyes. Now, this woman calls him son of David. But just remember this. She's not Jewish. She's not Jewish. She's Syrophoenician. She's a Canaanite woman. But she says, have mercy on me, Lord, deity, son of David. You're the king. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. She's not saying, I'm Jewish and I know who you are because I'm Jewish. She's saying, I know who you are and I'm not Jewish. I believe you're the son of David. I believe you're the Messiah. Mark chapter 7 says her daughter has an unclean spirit. Her daughter is demon-possessed. Watch what Jesus does. And you remember when the two Jewish guys called out and said, have mercy on us, son of David. Jesus stopped and went right over to them. This is a woman who's a Gentile. And she says, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. Look what Jesus does. Verse 23, but he did not answer her word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away, because she keeps shouting at us. He didn't answer her. In fact, he ignored her. Why? Because at this point, he's going to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. Now, that doesn't mean he won't help them, but he's doing something on purpose. He's going to see, where does she stand? Does she believe that he's the Messiah? Does she believe that he's the son of David? And so, and watch what, notice this, it says, he didn't answer a word, and his disciples came and implored him. That means they kept saying over and over, send her away, because she's bothering us. She's shouting at us. The disciples kept asking over and over, get rid of her. I want you to notice the contrast. The woman kept asking for help, and the disciples kept asking to send her away. Why? Well, she's bothering us. Are people a bother? Sometimes in our lives, don't they bother? Or you think they're a bother? They go, you bother me. You know, they bother me. But what about compassion? What about grace? What about love? How should we deal with people? It is so easy to be bothered by people rather than loving people. Now, Jesus is doing something unique here because he doesn't even talk to the lady. And we would think, well, you know, I mean, she called him son of David. She called him everything. So look what happens. He answers and said, now I think now he's talking to the lady. He answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, when he says the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he's talking about the Jews. He says, right now I'm sent to the Jews. He is the son of David. He is sent to the Jews. He's not going to the Gentiles. He calls Israel the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's the shepherd. There are many names for the Jewish people that are called the olive tree. They're the vineyard. They're the buildings and the walls that were planted. But here he calls them the sheep, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, most of us in this room probably aren't Jewish. And so we're pretending we're that woman. And we call out to Jesus, I believe you're the Messiah. I believe you're the son of David. I believe you're God. My daughter needs help. And he says, sorry, I'm only at this time, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Thanks for asking, right? That's almost what he looks like he's saying. I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Wow. But she has a need. And when you have a need, and you know who Jesus is, he can fix that need. Am I right about that? Any need you got, can Jesus take care of it if that's the plan? So we can come to him anytime, anywhere about anything. Now, at this time, this woman is not Jewish. She recognized Jesus as the Jewish king and Messiah. And he says, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But, look at verse 25, but she came and began to bow down before him saying, Lord, help me. She begins to worship him. She knows she has a need. She has a need that Jesus Christ can meet. And the truth is, so many people fail to realize their need. They need a Savior. There are many people in our community. There are people maybe in your families. There are people that we work with that they don't realize they need a Savior. They think they're okay. They look at the culture. They look around and they say, I'm not that bad. I'm doing okay. They don't realize that one sin separates us from God, that the wages of sin is death, and that Jesus Christ is the only hope. He is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. So he is, and she knows that. She says, wait a minute, I have a need. And what does she do? She bowed down. She's worshiping him, and she kept on worshiping him. Notice what it says here. It says, and she came and began to bow down, meaning she's continuing bowing down before him, saying, Lord, help me, help me. Now, he's going to say something that's going to surprise you. And you've read it before, but if you had never read it, if we were seeing this for the first time, we would say, well, you know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to go, okay, good gracious. That's not what he does. He answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Dogs. Now, you know in the first century that Jewish people and Gentile people didn't get along. And the Jewish people call the Gentiles, what do they call them? Dogs. Now, let me tell you, there are two Greek words for dog. There's a word dog, which means mongrel. It means dogs that run in the streets. They're called scavengers. And at that day and time, what dogs just ran, and they ran in packs, and you hated them because you get those dogs out here that get at, you know. But then there were dogs. There's another Greek word for dog, which means a lap dog, which means like your pet. Which, if you got a pet dog, this is that word. But this is what he said. He said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the lap dog, to the pet dog. And so he actually is saying that the children's bread, that's his family, that's the Jews, and the dogs are the Gentiles. But he doesn't use the bad name. He uses the good name. In fact, he uses the word for pet. I think he's testing her. What is she going to say now? Because he basically says, Am I supposed to give the bread that goes to the Jewish people and give it to a pet dog? I mean, that's what he says. And instead of her getting mad, because she says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She's saying, look, I'm not expecting the bread. I'll take the crumbs. I'll take anything you got because I know who you are. And she basically says, give to me a Gentile dog. Give me the crumbs just as the house dog gets the crumbs. I'll take the crumb. I have no claim on you. You are the Jewish king and Messiah. And yet I want you. I believe in you and I need you. I am helpless. That's what she's saying. She wasn't trying to take something from Israel. She just said, just give me whatever falls off the table. I'll take it. I need your help. You know, we all need a Savior, don't we? We all need a Savior. We're unable to save ourselves. She sees herself as helpless. We should see ourselves as helpless. There are many people we come in contact with, they still never seen the need. We are unable to save ourselves. The wages of sin is death. We've all fallen short. We need a Savior. That's why Jesus came. That's why when we did the Lord's Supper a while ago, we talked about how Jesus came and left the glories of heaven to become a person so he could die for us and pay for our sins and rise again, conquering death and giving us eternal life as a gift. She knows. She's already believed in him. She's believed in him as the Savior of the world. She's believed in him as the King of Israel, and she's believed in him as God. She does that, and she says, I need your help. Look what he says to her. She said, I'll just take the crumbs from the table. Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. You notice in some places where they haven't trusted Christ, but then they trust Christ, he'll say, your faith has made you whole. He didn't say that here. She already had trusted in him. That's why she called him Son of David. He says, you got great faith. You taking the crumbs, I'm going to give you more than the crumbs. It will be done for you as you wished. And the daughter, you know, she saw it. And the daughter was healed at that exact moment. You know, sometimes in our lives, we wish Jesus was here right now. Sometimes when we got people who are sick or going through things, and we'd say, Jesus, will you just come over here and like touch them and heal them? Because you could do that if you wanted to. When you were on earth, you did that. And since he's not here now, sometimes the best thing we can do is just lift up our prayer request and say, oh, Lord, please do this or take care of this or please do this. We can offer any prayer request. He says, be anxious for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding guards our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. She knew she was helpless to take care of her daughter, but she knew the King of Israel, the Messiah, the Lord, could take care of him. We're all helpless and need a Savior. There's some people who want Jesus on their terms. A lady by the name of Helga Gross wrote this. She said, what we usually pray for is not God's will be done, but that he approve our will. We need to see our condition. Salvation is by grace. Salvation is God's mercy. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. By grace we are saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, in the midst of Jesus going to the Jews, he listens to this woman. Now, by the time we get to the end of the Gospel of Matthew, if you remember in Matthew 28, 18, 19, 20, Jesus came up and spoke, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, make disciples of what? All nations, not just Jews. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So it's changed. At this point in time, he's offered himself to the Jews. They're going to reject him. He's going to go into the city the final time, and they're going to reject him. It's so amazing. As he comes into the city of Jerusalem, we'll get to it in the future. As he comes into the city of Jerusalem, they're saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. By the way, Hosanna doesn't mean praise. It means save us. When you say Hosanna, it means save us, because that's what they were singing as Jesus came down. They said, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Save us in the highest. You're the King, you're the Messiah. As he came into the city, and not 4 or 5 days later, they're saying, crucify him. Same people. So be careful when you see these kind of things. And so here Jesus said, listen, I took care of that. And we need a Savior. And Jesus goes to all the world. Well, let's see something else, okay? Because now he's going to go, he's going to heal a large bunch of people. But I want to show you something. Watch. Departing from there, Jesus went along by a sea of Galilee, and having gone up on the mountain, he was sitting there. Now, what we can find from the Gospel of Mark is he went to a place called Decapolis, which is over in this region right here. And this part, now he's by the sea, but he's in this part. Remember where he did the Sermon on the Mount and where he did the feeding of the 5,000? Probably was right there. He may be a little further over this time. And most of the people in this area, guess what? They're Gentiles. When he fed the 5,000 men, not count women and children, they were almost all Jews. When he comes here for these 4,000, they're going to almost all be Gentiles. So watch what happens. Departing from there, Jesus went along by the Sea of Galilee, and having gone up the mountain, he was sitting there, and large crowds came to him, bringing them those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others, and they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. Now, so a whole bunch of people came, and he healed them. I always look at this. You know, it is true that people will go to great effort for the healing of their bodies, but neglect the healing of their souls. That's amazing. People will spend whatever money, doctors and everything, but you just want to talk to them about Christ. You want to talk to them about the Bible. No, I'm not interested in that. Okay, you're interested in living physically, but you're not interested in living eternally. So all the people, they start bringing everybody there. And I want you to see what happens. So the crowd marveled as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled restored, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And now watch the end of the verse. And they glorified the God of Israel. See, that's Gentiles. Gentiles called Jesus the God of Israel. Jews didn't say he was the God of Israel. They saw him as their own, because they worshiped the true God of Israel. Gentiles said he's the God of Israel. And, you know, I think it was amazing. I look at this passage. All these crowds, they were bringing everybody there. And a question that I want you to think about is, are we bringing people to Jesus Christ? And what I mean by that is, are we sharing with him? Are we going to people that we know out there, and are we telling them about Jesus and how he indeed is the Savior of the world, and he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that we're all sinners and need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the one who died for us, and if they will believe in him, they'll have eternal life? Are we doing that? There are people we come in contact with every day. My twin sister, I didn't know this, but she trusted Christ when she was like 17 years old. I didn't know that. She got married when she was 17. They moved away. They moved to Memphis. I'm still in Meridian, Mississippi. I go off to college. I trusted Christ as my Savior at 19 years old. It's a few years later, I go visit her because I'm coaching at Mississippi State, and I go up there and I visit my sister. And one day it came up about salvation because I kind of wanted to make sure she knew Christ. So I said, hey, Judy, tell me. So I started talking to her. She said, oh, I trusted Christ when I was 17. I said, why didn't you tell me? And she said, I just thought you knew. No. And so here's the question. Are there going to be people in our lives that are going to look at us and say, why didn't you tell me? Why did you just let me go through life and you didn't tell me about Jesus? Because there's some people out there that you may be the one that God's got to tell that person so they can trust in Jesus Christ. Notice they glorified the God of Israel. You know, they glorified God. And how can we glorify God? We can give glory to God and we can bring glory to God. We can give glory to God as we talk about his son, as we talk about the salvation message, as we talk about his character. We can say how great God is. But we can also bring glory to God by how we live and what we do. We can glorify God in our lives. Well, we got this crowd there, and let's see the next part. And this is where he feeds the 4,000. I want you to see what happens. So Jesus called his disciples to him, and he said, I have compassion. I feel compassion for these people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. Now, the word compassion. Compassion, when you think of compassion, the Greek compassion is like bowels. You know, we think of heart. We go, oh, I feel this in my heart. In the Greek, it was your insides, not your heart. It was your insides where you felt compassion. And it was that idea of that I have a pain for somebody. That's what it is. And so he said, I feel this compassion for these people because they've been with me now for 3 days and we've been doing all this. And I don't want them to send them away because there's no food and they might faint on the way. Now, if you're the disciples, what has Jesus already done? He fed how many? 5,000, 20,000. And he did it with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so you'd think when Jesus says, I have compassion for these people. I don't want them to go away hungry. You would think the disciples would say, well, why don't you just make some more like you did last time, right? That's not what they say. Look what they say. The disciples said to him, where are we going to get so many loaves in this desolate place to satisfy such a large crowd? Have they forgotten the 5 loaves and 2 fish? And Jesus said to them, well, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few small fish. That's what we have. 7 and a few small. And so he says, everybody needs to sit down. Because let me ask you a question. We oftentimes say, how could they forget what he just did? How could we forget what God's done for us? We wake up and we go, I don't know what I'm going to do. Has he ever taken care of you before? Well, every time. So you act like you forgot what he's done in the past? Do we forget what he has done for us? We go through life as if he's never been there. He's there all the time. They forgot. Look at this. I'm going to read something to you. But in chapter 16, verses, they still hadn't got it. Listen to this. This is chapter 16 of Matthew. You don't have to turn there. 7 through 10, they're on the boat, and Jesus says, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. And immediately they think bread. And so they said, oh, no, we didn't bring any bread. And Jesus said, you men of little faith, why are you talking about no bread? Don't you understand? You remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000? And how many baskets did you pick up? Do you remember the 7 loaves and the 4,000? How many baskets did you pick up? I mean, they don't get it. And the truth is, sometimes we don't get it. We say, I hope I'm going to make it. What do you mean? You don't think God's going to be there? Can you do all things through the one who strengthens you? Is he never going to leave you, forsake you? What should you fear? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. If you can ask any question, any request, anytime, any place, anywhere, he's always there. But sometimes we forget. So look what happens. He directed the people to sit on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. He made them sit down, and one of the gospels said he made them sit down in groups of 50 or 100, and they sat down, and he took the basically 7 loaves and the fish, and he began to break, and he gave thanks. And by the way, the Greek word for thanks is eucharisto, and we get the word Eucharist from it, which is another name for the Lord's Supper, which we celebrated this morning. And look what happened. You can see Jesus going, here, give this, give this. They got it. They're going out to the groups just like last time. And it says they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 7 large baskets full. Now, they all ate and they were stuffed. You know, how much you got? 7 loaves. And so they ate and they were completely full. Now, it always amazes me, and I'll bet you they had never been completely full before. Never. There are people in our world today that have never been full in their lives. Never one time have they ever had enough to eat that they would get full. They may have enough to eat to keep living. They all ate and were satisfied. Picked up what was broken, what was left over, and it was 7 baskets full. Oh, by the way, when he picked up, when they did the 5,000, how many baskets were left over? Anybody know? 12? And the word for basket there was a Jewish word for a big basket. Now they're going to pick up baskets. How many are going to be left over? Do you remember? How many does it say? 7? The word for basket there is a Gentile word for basket. That's why the emphasis is that these are probably almost all Gentiles that Jesus is ministering to here. And so those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. Listen, if there was a wife there and a child there, you got about 12,000 people pretty easily. Maybe more than that. You just never know. And so what happened? And sending away the crowds, Jesus got into the boat and came to the region of Magadan. Well, let me show you this. Jesus always meets our needs. They've most likely been right here. And they got Magdala and Magadan are the same place. Mary Magdalene, that's the same city. So Magadan and Magdalene, the same. So what they did probably was they got in a boat from here and they went across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. He got into the boat, came to the region of Magadan. Now, next time, we're going to see more conflicts. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem to die. We're going to see five times. He says, five times in Matthew, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'll be arrested. I'll be turned over to the Gentiles. I'll be killed. And I will rise again after 3 days. He says it five times in this book. We'll see it as we go through. So this morning, Gentile woman comes. She wants mercy from Jesus. And he says, really, I'm just sent to Israel. And she said, yeah, but I'll take the crumbs. So he heals her daughter. And then he goes and heals all these Gentiles on the side of this hill. And then he feeds them all with about 7 loaves and 2 little fish. And once again, that's who he is. And so as we look at our applications, let's recognize our need for Jesus Christ. Listen, we all need the Savior. There's only one way to have eternal life. If you're here this morning and you have never understood how to have eternal life, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. He died on the cross to pay for sin and rose again to conquer death, and he offers to you a gift. The gift is eternal life. It's not works. It's not our goodness. It's not our righteousness. It's not what we do. It's not what we're going to keep on doing. It is taking a gift that Jesus offers. It is salvation, eternal life, simply by faith. For those of us who know Christ, we need him. We need him every day. We need him day in and day out. The Gentile woman that came to see Jesus, I think she was already saved. She was needing him for her daughter. And we need him every day. God totally satisfies. The second thing I want you to think about, let's take the salvation message to the world. Matthew 28, go to every nation. That means it doesn't matter whether Jews, Gentiles, whatever race, whatever. We're going to go out into all the world. I had the privilege, the Saturday before last, I had the privilege of speaking at the Stillwater Chinese Baptist Church. They just built a building. As you remember, when we were all at Countryside, many of you were at Countryside with me, for 10 years we had the Chinese Baptist Church there, and we let them stay there for free because we wanted them to get whatever money they could because we wanted them to build their own building. Well, they finally built their building, and they asked me if I would come speak, and I was one of like 3 or 4 people to speak, and it was a great privilege. And as I look out and I saw Chinese people, and people from other places. I mean, the message of salvation is for every human being throughout the whole world. Let's go. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. And then last but not least, let's glorify God. How do we do that? We can give glory to God, who he is, what he does, his plan of salvation. The Psalms say, remember all that he's done for us. So we give him the glory. But then the second thing is we bring glory to God. And the way that we do that is to walk worthy of the calling which we're called. We are children of God. Let's live out who we are as children of God. There's some great things. So we want to live for Jesus, bringing him honor and glory, and taking the salvation message to all.